take a moment and breathe. 2 feet flat on the floor. Remember our blessings. As I was working in Nehemiah this week, this verse, I need thee every hour, definitely was in my mind and heart as well. And I just imagine and picture Nehemiah saying, I need thee, God. I need thee every hour to teach me your will. Nehemiah wasn't out there by himself. The Lord was totally with him. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. He was modeling that and showing that to his people. I'm going to begin with Psalm 33:11. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. We have a planning God. He has a plan for each of us. He has carried out his plan throughout history. His purpose never changes. Amen? His purpose never changes. Even when we do not have a plan, rest assured, God is still working through his plan. Theologian Charles Spurgeon has written, "No man can expect his will or plan to be carried out from age to age. The wisdom of one period is the folly of another, but the Lord's wisdom is always wise, and his designs run on from century to century. His power to fulfill his purpose is by no means diminished by the lapse of years. He who was absolute over Pharaoh of Egypt is not one whit or one bit the less today the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Still do his chariot wheels roll onward in imperial grandeur, none being more for a moment able to resist his eternal will." Again, how blessed are we that God's plan of love is never ending. His plan for us never diminishes. We are to delight in the Lord. I'll be reading from Nehemiah 2 this week. As I've been sharing and reading and studying, I kind of have this picture, this movie playing in my mind of all the things that are happening to Nehemiah. So Nehemiah 2, verse 1 begins, "Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, which is late March and early spring, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence." Do you remember that he was the cupbearer?
Yes.
That he was his bodyguard and cupbearer. The cupbearer is the person that tastes the food and the drink and makes sure that the king isn't being poisoned, right? So to have that job, you have to be pretty confident. And so even on his face, he kept that confident face and that confident stature. "The king had asked me, 'Why are you looking so sad? Why do you look so sad? You must be deeply troubled.' And then I was terrified. But I replied, 'Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire.' And the king asked, 'Well, how can I help you?' With a prayer to the God of heaven. I replied, 'If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried.' The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, 'How long will you be gone? When will you return?' After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, 'If it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, and for the city walls, and for a house for myself, And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. We learn in Nehemiah that to intentionally do good works means taking the proper time to pray and taking the proper time to do some faithful planning. Nehemiah placed all of his trust in God, knowing that God is in control. And he took the time to pray and ask God, "What do you want me to do?" We mentioned that last week. Were any of you encouraged this week to ask the Lord, "What do you want me to do? My life is in your hands. You're in control." If you didn't have the opportunity to do it last week, think about it this week. What do you want me to do? His actions, Nehemiah's actions and his words brought biblical principles to the tasks of rebuilding the wall and rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Nehemiah loved and accepted all people. He truly wanted his people to live peacefully. He knew he needed their help in rebuilding. Riches didn't matter to Nehemiah. He modeled resisting and opposing the power of Satan. And he prayed about his stressors and his problems. He was giving them to God. Giving them to God. Just as we ought to be laying our issues, our stressors, our problems at the foot of the cross. Amen. Nehemiah was doing that continually. He didn't share his big plans with the people immediately. He did remind them of the joy that they had in the Lord. The joy that they will have in living their lives knowing they are the Lord's people. Jesus does this. He reminds us of God. He restores what is broken in each of us. And Jesus is continuing to restore this world that is so broken from sin. Jesus is in control. As the king of Persia's cupbearer, Nehemiah was trustworthy and dependable. As the king was worried about him, Nehemiah always held himself as a very secure and knowledgeable person. He never showed that he was worried. The king had total respect for him. The king noticed his worrying. And it was then that Nehemiah took a leap of faith. His walk matched his talk. Nehemiah would move forward in prayer and planning as God had directed, taking a leap of faith. As I was reading, I was thinking, is my character and work ethic what God would want me to do? Is it what God wants for me? Am I living up to my goals to live as a Christian? Think about your work ethic. And your character. Are people looking at you and recognizing the light of Jesus in your heart? Nehemiah was all in. His faith was a faith of action. In Colossians 3:23, we read, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for the people." With my mom being so ill, and a week ago needing a lot of assistance, that resonated with me. No matter how tired I am, I would be joyful when I would go in to greet her. I would be joyful when I placed her meal on the table. That really resonated with me. No matter what your circumstance, your workplace, where you are, your family, no matter what you're doing, work knowing that you are doing the work of the Lord. We are to recognize that all we do should be for God's glory. Nehemiah felt the hand of God on him when the king said, "You may go and rebuild the city." Wow. Starting at Nehemiah 2, verse 9. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letter to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. But when Sanballat of Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help Israel. And so I arrived in Jerusalem 3 days later, and I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone the plans God had put into my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except for the donkey that I was riding. After dark, I went through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, and over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. And then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but my donkey couldn't go through the rubble. So though it was still dark, I went up to the Kidron Valley instead, inspecting the wall, before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. The city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoke to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." And then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversations with the king. And they replied at once, "Yes, yes, let's rebuild the wall." And so they began the good work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. "What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" they asked. I replied, "The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding the wall. But you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem." And so Nehemiah had gone from Persia to Jerusalem to rebuild, to make his plan a reality. He planned for all the what ifs, getting that letter from the king and the king providing those horsemen to go with him. Those that were opposed to the building of Jerusalem would be there. They would be making things difficult for him. Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite were put off totally by this. They were Jewish. They were Jewish fellows. And yet they did not want this to be done. They did not want God's people to become stronger than they were. They mocked and they scorned Nehemiah for his plans. It must have felt terrible to have your brothers, your Jewish brothers, stand against you, plan against you. There's sometimes in our lives where we make a decision and really feel good about it and start to move forward, and then the antagonists step forward. And they make you kind of want to go off your path. "You won't be successful. Are you kidding me? Why are you taking that job? That's going to be really hard," right? The minute we start having it all together and moving forward, people say silly things. Makes you think, makes you doubt, makes you wonder. Do not give in. With God, you are well equipped. You are well equipped to keep on keeping on. Rejoice in the goodness of your faith. Rejoice in that. Plan for the areas that you need to be in, to improve upon as you're walking with Jesus. He's there for us. It was with a faithful heart and many prayers and with permission from the king, which pretty much was a miracle, that Nehemiah went into the dark to view the city. He wanted to avoid any confrontations. The broken walls represented the fear and the insecurities of his people. That was the work that he needed to do. And he was beginning to plan. He chose not to give the criticism of others too much of his time. He listened, but he didn't give them the time to react, to discuss. That's a skill we all need to practice, right? In today's world, other people will have decisions. I don't have to argue back with what we're discussing about. The Holy Spirit is within each one of us and provides a way forward so that we may glorify the Lord. Think about the politics of the last few years. Sometimes some people they will present their view, but if you question them, then you're wrong. Or if you want to switch their minds, you're wrong. The idea of listening and praying has gone. We need to go back to, it's okay to listen to others. It's not okay to put each other down or to say that because you don't feel how I feel, I don't like you. All of that is just so silly. And letting it raise to the point of arguing is hurtful. Think about moving forward in a way that will glorify God. Consider your life, your family, your place of occupation, your church, your community. We have so many blessings to be thankful for. We can each take a step back and look around and see that there is an area of need. Perhaps it's a relationship. Perhaps it's a neighbor that is struggling financially. Perhaps it's a senior citizen that needs a special visit. Are you allowing Jesus to nurture your character so that you are better able to get out there and to do his work? Be his hands and feet. Proverbs 25:28, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without a wall. Self-control. If you're having trouble over your own spirit, think about your self-control. Lack of self-control can lead to trouble. Self-control by turning to God first, praying and planning first, is the better way to go. It will lead to joy. Nehemiah was praying and planning for the people within this broken city. David Guzik writes, no doubt this was something Nehemiah prayed about a lot. He might have prayed something like this. Oh Lord, prepare the hearts of the leaders of Jerusalem to support this work you have called me to do. Let them see that I do not come condemning or criticizing them, only to help. Give me the right words to say and speak to them ahead of time about this work you call me to do. I pray almost every morning. I do part of that prayer. I pray that God gives me the right words to say to his people. With the right words inspired by God, Nehemiah was able to wisely speak with the king. And he was very open about the king, about what he was sharing, the stress of the people. He was very open about knowing that people were going to be criticizing him. The people of Jerusalem began to recognize Nehemiah was doing God's work. Well, first the king realized this was something that needed to be done because Nehemiah was such a faithful servant to him. He gave him permission to do it. The people of Jerusalem could have said, I'm scared to work on that wall. It's too much work. Too many days out there in the sun. I'm fearful for my life. I'm building my own house. I'm taking care of my own animals. But they didn't. They called on their faith as they partnered joyfully to complete God's work. Nehemiah did not bother to convince those who were against him. He would say, "The God of heaven himself will prosper." He continued to proclaim his confidence in God, knowing God's work would succeed. Nehemiah continued to share about the great work being done. He didn't share about the negative things that were happening. God is stronger. He did not want people looking at Israel and to believe that God's people were a mess and that they were weak. All the workers were bringing honor, honor to God's name. They were trusting God, knowing that he had been working behind the scenes all the time. What a lesson for us. He is behind the scenes all the time, working with us. Even the high priest, the most religious leaders of the community, had come to work, and I had read that they were in charge of repairing the sheep gates in the fence, or in the wall. The most religious came out to help the community to work together. We as followers of Jesus are called to the church. He continues to set us apart and build up his church. Let us continue to believe in him with our hearts and our minds and our souls. Let us work with him and bring honor to his name. Do not become offended by others who may not share your same passions. Strategically think and work out how to handle criticisms well. You are representing Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Ask Jesus what he would like you to do. Lord, what would you like me to do? You may not see him in all situations, just know that he is there. He is working behind the scenes always. God is doing great things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us a strong sense of spirit in our church and within our church family and friends. Fill our hearts with all that you are and direct us in ways that we are always living your will. We are a group that lifts one another up, and we ask that you give us the heart to continue in that way. We are truly thankful for all you have provided for us. We give thanks for our many blessings. Thank you for reconciling us back to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. May we always be mindful of your presence in our daily lives. We pray for willing hearts. May you use us daily. Thank you, Lord. Amen.